1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Lisa Bracken has been on to us about what Archbishop Dermot Martin has said about funerals for gangland criminals in the Dublin diocese will not be allowed anymore, become show funerals. But the funeral cannot have symbols that glorify violence. And Lisa Bracken. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
What do you think of Archbishop Martin saying these shows of strength, I suppose, and opulence will be outlawed?
Joe, I've so many thoughts and I don't know where to start. First of all, I think that it's a family's own business what way they choose to say goodbye to a loved one. When a family is thrown into grief, you know, there can be a great urgency to say goodbye in the best possible way that family can give. Be it some families have, you know, huge displays of flowers, others have none. And I think that a family should be allowed to do as they wish. No matter what we think as a whole, whether it will be to our taste or not, is irrelevant. That's that family's own decision. And I think that the Archbishop should kind of concentrate more on his own failures as part of the clergy in the cover-up and collusion. I mean, you know, we could look at the church as gangsters by a different name.
I know, we've dealt with that now, in fairness, and you're talking about individuals in the church. But Archbishop Martin said Dublin has a problem with celebrity funerals getting out of hand. For example, now this is not his example, but it's the example that people bring up as the time it all started, and that is the funeral of David Bourne. And again, condolences to David Bourne's family. He was murdered in the region Hotel in 2016. At that funeral, there was 11 stretch limos. There was a blue American casket costing 15,000, according to the newspaper report, costing 15,000 euro just for the casket. A lot of the men were dressed in similar style, brand new suits, and as Pádraig O'Reilly told us 2 weeks ago here when this debate was going on Liveline, not only are the suits the same colour, but their shirts and ties are the same colour. They're a particular shade of blue. Again, blue there, blue casket, blue suits, and that's to display membership of a particular organised crime gang, apparently. There were floral tributes in the style of BMWs, Rolex watches, and again, at another funeral, it was in Gucci and all these high designer labels. At the offertory procession in the church of St. Francis and St. Myra, outside the walls, as it's called, in Mead Street in Dublin, in the offertory procession, the offerings were brought up in a remote-controlled mobile jeep, which proceeded up to the centre aisle of the church with the offerings, which are supposed to be symbolic. Now, what do you think of that?
Joe, that wouldn't be to my personal taste. It really wouldn't. But I do think that the priest's job and the archbishop's job, and, you know, are to perform the funeral, and that's it. I don't think that it should be a judgment of wealth or lifestyle. I mean, Joe, we've had very cagey politicians die in the past. I'm not naming names, but we have, and they've had state funerals.
Yeah, but Lisa, I think all of these, if you don't mind me saying, all these analogies, like none of these politicians are by nature controversial, but none of them went out and shot someone in the head.
Joe.
Anyway, the father
in their own special way. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what you mean. Let me bring in Father Joe MacDonald, 51551. Father Joe, we spoke to Father Niall Coughlin, who presided at that. Now, a lot of the things that apparently happened at that funeral of David Bourne, the jeep bringing up the offertory, all the wreaths and the shape of BMWs and Rolex watches and vodka bottles or whatever, and the 11 limousines outside and the 15,000 euro blue American casket. A lot of that, apparently, Niall Coughlin told us at the time he had no foreknowledge of, but he's saying, he spoke to us this morning, he has a previous engagement now, but he said that how am I going to police this ban? How am I going to say to families, well, you saw what the Archbishop said, no show funerals. Okay, Father Joe MacDonald and Ballyfermot and Dublin, what would you say to a family where the deceased, unfortunately, had been shot dead in a gangland tit-for-tat shootout?
Hi, Joe. Well, the first thing, Joe, I'd like to agree with Lisa in terms of the starting point has to be an acknowledgement of grief and the broken hearts that we're dealing with. And the broken heart doesn't, it's not confined to any class or any money or anything like that. People are obviously in a very bad place. And whatever we do, we have to do it sensitively. That would be my first point. And the second point would be, I would view the Archbishop's intervention as an example of courageous and clear leadership.
So how are you going to police it?
Well, the starting point here... The starting point here is already here in St. Matthew's and Ballyfermot, we have a lot of funerals. Some of them are tragic. And the starting point is the time you spend with family to try and explain that there's two things here. Lisa, I think, has explained one, and that is to allow family to say goodbye insofar as is possible in their way. However, the other side of it is, of course, that it is not just the priest's job or the archbishop's job to perform the funeral, but we have to be mindful and respectful of the liturgy and the sacredness of Mass.
But you can do that, Joe, but you then have to say, if you believe there is a prospect of a show funeral, you then have to be very specific. Do you not have to say to no horse-drawn carriages, which apparently is a feature not in those funerals? Do you say to no American caskets? Do you say to them?
No, you see, Joe. No.
And come back to how are you going to police this?
Well, again, your word police is, you know, you're
okay. How are you going to?
No, I know what you're saying, and the police is one way of putting it. Obviously, I prefer not to be using the word police.
Okay, how are you going to enforce this?
Yeah, well, what I'm going to be saying is I'm going to try to talk to people. I already have situations where, for example, people will say to me, you know, my dad loved his glass of brandy. And I'll say, well, that's great, but we can acknowledge that and say that. There's nothing wrong, but we don't need to produce the bottle of brandy and bring it up in the procession. We have little examples of this already. That already, the negotiating and the dialogue between family and priest is already happening. And usually happening very successfully because people see that there are other opportunities, whether it be in the house the night before or at the crematorium or at the graveside. But you have to, and this is where, whether we like it or not, the Archbishop has made it very clear, and it's up to people like me now in the local situation to try to find that place. But Joe, just let me say this about it. The first thing we have to say is it's not our job to eulogize, but it's not our job to demonize. The person who's lying in the coffin in front of the altar in St. Matthew's, regardless of their lifestyle, is entitled to the honour and dignity due to anybody. That it is not my position to judge that. What the Archbishop is talking about is where you mentioned horse-drawn carriage. That, to me, comes back to Lisa's point. That's not my business. People want a horse-drawn carriage.
Okay, American-style caskets, which are obviously extraordinarily expensive.
But Joe, why would that be my business?
Okay, because your boss, your Archbishop, is saying, I do not want any more show funerals. So you tell me, what is a show funeral?
Well,
what does he not want anymore?
Well, my understanding is we're talking about anything that does violence to the sacred liturgy of the Eucharist, which there's a very different, a horse-drawn carriage at the door is different to what happens within the Mass. I mean, the misunderstanding is people keep talking about gifts. There's only two gifts at Catholic Mass. The gifts are bread and wine. What we're talking about are symbols of the person's life. And it doesn't have to be a gangland funeral, so-called. It can be any funeral. People have never come in here in the 7 years I'm here. They've never come in deliberately to be disrespectful. But they do at times make suggestions that are not in keeping with the sacredness of the Mass.
Such as?
And that's where...
Such as?
Well, I mean, bringing up alcohol and betting dockets and cigarettes and all that, we don't need to do that at Mass.
Have you stopped people doing that?
I don't need to stop because in the negotiation, when they hear...
Has anyone requested that they do that?
Yes, absolutely. And that happens quite often. But the point to remember is, first of all, as Lisa said, they are in grief. They're in a very bad place. Number two, they're not deliberately being disrespectful. And Joe, there's an onus on us about what we offer. if all we have to offer is thou shalt not, we need to be more creative and more. For example, nobody should leave a Catholic funeral and walk out and say to each other, that was very cold, the priest hardly mentioned my loved one, that was very indifferent. We have a job to do. The liturgy should be creative and so on.
The Archbishop said, let's stick to his words, Joe. There are civil funerals all over the place. If they want that sort of thing, they go there. We will continue to have prayerful services, remembering those who died, but that's it. Where it can be ascertained that individuals hold direct responsibility in this traffic in evil, they will no longer be allowed to exploit religious services in the Archbishop of in the Archdiocese of Dublin to enhance their image. Now, you're saying you agree with that, but you haven't a clue how to enforce it.
Oh, no, I have every clue. I would consider, Joe, that I am already, I don't know about the word enforce, I'm already negotiating with families to have a liturgy that is warm and personable and about their loved one, and at the same time is respectful of the sacred liturgy that is the Mass. It's a tightrope. It's a very difficult one to negotiate. And what he's talking about is the extreme situation where somebody is going to literally...
Have you ever seen 11 stretch limos at a funeral in Ballyfermot, St. Matthew's?
No.
Okay. No. Have you ever seen 11 stretch limos in memory of a man who had no visible means of, or his family have no visible means of income through work?
I know, Joe, you see, for me at that point, that is me sliding towards judgment.
Archbishop says, where it can be ascertained that individuals hold direct responsibility in this traffic in evil, they will no longer be allowed to exploit religious services in the Archdiocese of Dublin to enhance their image. You're basically saying, Joe, as far as I can understand, and you're a highly intelligent man, a highly articulate man, you're saying, I agree with the AB, but I don't know what I'd stop.
No, apart from
a vodka bottle or something.
No, I'm saying, listen, if it presents itself, if a family arrive in here to St. Matthew's and they want to do what I would consider mad stuff in the liturgy, then I have no difficulty. Well, I wouldn't say I have no difficulty because it's not going to be easy, but I will be saying that, sorry, folks, look, we can't do that. This is Mass. You know, it comes up already in terms of music. People at times say to me they want Christy Moore at the beginning, Shania Twain at the offertory, and
do you allow the Osmonds. Do you allow that?
No, I say this is Mass, therefore we need religious music, especially at the offertory and so on.
So you wouldn't, it's the anthem of a most magnificent group of fans in a football club, Liverpool, but apparently you never walk alone as a favourite in these gangland funerals. Did you know
but
that?
Joe, I do.
But you wouldn't allow that?
Oh, Joe, this is the point. The final song gone out, I have no difficulty with an anthem for the person. People say to me, her party piece was, I'll take you home again, Kathleen. Mm. What's the problem with that at the end of the funeral when we're leaving? Mass is over. Like, let's not have fights about stuff we don't need to fight about.
Say there for a sec, Father Joe, because Marie is on the line and has been holding 51551. Marie, you say you're in Ballyvermid.
I'm one of Father Joe's parishioners.
Okay. And like the rest of his parishioners, I know you all admire him up there. But Marie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know that. But Marie, what? You say you saw a gangland funeral in Ballyvermid.
Oh, by God, I did.
And tell us. Which parish, St. Matthew's or
St.
George?
I was before Father Joe's time, let me ask.
Okay.
There were stretch limos to beat the band. There were two horse-drawn carriages.
Mm-hmm.
They were two brothers. I won't mention any names in case you don't want me to. It's up to you. But it was two brothers.
Who were shot in quick succession,
weren't they? Absolutely, yeah. Up in Clondalkin. I'll say that much. But... they were from Ballyfermot, obviously, mm-hmm. from Father Joe's parish, and they were brought to St. Matthew's.
Yeah, two horse-drawn carriages.
Absolutely. And the disrespect shown to the priest who celebrated that funeral mass was absolutely disgraceful.
In what way?
The man knew the circumstances of the shootings. Mm-hmm. These guys were involved in drugs. Basically, everybody knows it's no secret.
But there's no
preaching about, against drugs and all the rest of it.
Okay.
And a member of the family, on not one but two occasions, got up and told him to shut the F up about talking about drugs.
Someone stood up in the congregation?
Yes, went up to the altar on two occasions, not one, two, and told him to shut the F up talking about drugs. And then they had the massive big funeral up to the cemetery and the whole lot.
What was the priest's reaction on the altar when this man, you say, went up twice and said, shut the F up about drugs?
He didn't bat an eyelid one way or the other, but he paid for it in the long run.
What do you mean?
His car was burned out shortly after.
I never heard that. What do you mean?
Oh, yes. Ask anybody up in the upper end, on the up near where your mum lives, anybody up that end will tell you. That is an absolute fact of life. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay, so you agree with Archbishop Dermot Martin?
Absolutely, 110%
what would you ban,
as I
Marie?
I said to Richie earlier on, these people, and come on, let's call a spade a spade, they don't cross the church from one Sunday to the next.
A lot of people who get married and indeed buried in churches, you can say the same.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying
So we can rule.
And the only reason people would cross the door is for a funeral of one of their criminal colleagues, if you like.
Well, a lot of people only cross the door.
Or the christening of their children.
So
but other than that, they don't support the Catholic Church.
Okay. So it's the force.
They wouldn't give a penny to the Catholic Church. You know what I mean?
So it's
the phone to my father. Do you know what I mean?
So it's the force rule.
Come on, be honest about it, Joe. Mass, I know anybody can go to Mass, and Father Joe would never turn anybody away, and we all have great respect for him for that. Nobody will be turned away. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or anything else. But these show funerals, I mean, all they're doing is encouraging other people to do exactly the same thing.
What else would you ban? You'd ban horse-drawn carriages.
Well, I mean, if you have the horse-drawn carriages outside the door, but, I mean, say to them, you can't bring all these show things inside the door of the church.
Which are what?
It stops at the gate. Whatever their big, I mean, as you said about that funeral of, was it David Byrne you said?
Mm-hmm.
That they had their remote control car and that.
Yeah,
no,
going up
I
the aisle with the
any of that.
Yeah.
What Father Joe does, if somebody dies and they want to bring up memorabilia, say photographs or you know, something that women might be, an old lady might die and she was involved in something, bring up something that memorises that, maybe a pair of slippers or, you know, something like that, or a man dies, maybe he wore a cap all his life, bring the cap up. Things like, simple things, not big, big show things. And this act of, you know, bottles of brandy and bottles of vodka, me granny, no. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that whatsoever. I mean, there's people bringing young kids to these funerals and they're saying that.
What about American style 15,000 euro blue caskets? Would you ban
them? Well, I don't
them?
Know where the blazes are coming from. I mean, where is the money coming from?
No, I don't know where the money's coming from. But I'm asking you, would you ban them? Is that a show funeral?
Of course it is. What else is it?
Why is it?
A normal, simple casket. Do you know, we're all going into the same big 6-foot hole at the end of the day, or you're going to a crematorium,
but
but what do you want something like that?
No, I'm listening.
That is show with a capital S.
But I'm listening to you, Marie, and the exceptions that you talk about, the horse-drawn, the people who never darkened the door before, that could apply to any funeral. That could apply to any funeral. It happens everywhere. Lisa Bracken, Lisa, you wanted to reply to Father Joe.
Joe, I really do want to Marie there. First of all, no one can ascertain what anyone's lifestyle is until that person is brought into a court of law, and then a judgment is made on whether they were involved in criminal or gangland activity. Who can possibly ascertain that before a person is buried? It's not possible. Therefore, there's a judgment being made. I think that there's an awful lack here of forgiveness, and forgiveness is preached, you know, every day in churches by the Archbishop, by priests, by people. I'm sure Marie there herself is Catholic. And I'd just like to ask her, where's her forgiveness? Why is she being so judgmental? You know, we don't condemn people with addiction, such as alcohol addiction, when they're being buried. A priest is not up discussing, you know, the horrible effects of alcohol. So why should a priest address drug addiction issues? Mm. I'm very lucky. I've no family members who are ever caught up with addiction or
Let Marie answer that. Forgiveness, Marie.
Forgiveness, by all means. The priest celebrates Mass, and the person who is in the coffin in front of him is forgiven by the priest. Whether or not the people around forgive them is entirely up to them. Everybody has their own conscience. God gave you a conscience when you were born. You either forgive or you don't. You can forgive, but you don't put on a display like that.
And the funeral I referred to,
I know for a fact what they were involved in, because they didn't live a million miles from where I live.
You don't know anything. You cannot state that way. You don't know for a fact. You actually don't know for a fact. That's impossible, unless you're a family member. But are you allowed to judge Marie in that way? Should you really judge people? Is that, you know, very Catholic?
It may not be very Catholic, but at the end of the day, you know what people are doing. I mean, as I said, the funeral I referred to, the people didn't live a million miles from my house, and everybody in the vicinity knew what they were involved in. As I said, the two boys were shot because of who they were and what they were doing.
So why are you, as a Catholic woman, judging that family and how they say goodbye?
Please believe me.
Why are you judging that family?
I know about.
Well, the two boys you talk about were Paul and Kenneth Corbley. They were 35 and 32, respectively. But however, Marie, there is no capital punishment in this country. And for someone to go and murder somebody because they believe or whatever, they're in a tit-for-tat row, that is a life sentence if they're caught. You know what I mean? No one deserves to be killed because the state has decided that no matter what you do, and if you go through the forces of law and judiciary, we will never impose the sanction of death. So you cannot argue that we all knew what these guys were up to, therefore, now I'm paraphrasing you and I know you'll stop me, therefore somehow they deserved to die. They didn't deserve to die. But you're saying their funeral
the same thing on
should,
other people.
So
you know what I mean? That's what's going on in that circle. Look, I have maintained for donkey's years, you get involved in drugs, there's a bullet with your name on it. I know it's a dreadful thing to say, but it's a fact. You're looking at it day after day.
Okay,
after
let me bring in Magellan.
It's becoming an everyday issue now.
Okay.
Not something that you get shocked about anymore.
51551. Well, we should get shocked about it.
I know we should. But I mean, God, there's another one.
And Marie, hang on.
That was dreadful. But nowadays it's sort of, there's another one.
Hypocrisy is dreadful, actually, Marie.
But that's the way life has gone,
but your hypocrisy as a Catholic is absolutely shocking.
Okay, let me bring in Magella Sheehan, 51551. Magella, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Yeah.
What do you think of what the Archbishop has said? Now, it's a bit hard to interpret what he means. Where it can be ascertained that individuals hold direct responsibility in this traffic in evil, they will no longer be allowed to exploit religious services in the Archdiocese of Dublin to enhance their image. There are civil funerals all over the place. If they want that sort of thing, they go there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's tricky. I think it's tricky, really, to be honest. I would kind of more or less, I agree with him. I don't like these vulgar displays of wealth. Do you know, I don't think they've any part to play in a funeral. Of course, first thing you must be aware of is the grief and the pain of the family involved. But accommodating these ridiculous show funerals is, they have no place.
Magella, what is a show funeral to you when you see it?
What's in it? As was described, really, just the ridiculous wealth involved and the caskets and the guys all dressed the same way and, you know, no reverence, really. You see, the thing is, it's the reverence is missing, you know, and I know the minute you try and defend the stance a member of the love, like that Bishop Martin takes, you will immediately have thrown at you all the child abuse and the covering up in the past. And of course, that was always dreadful, do you know. But at the same time, like, you can't dictate either to a church. There are things you cannot do, you know, and there are things that are irreverent, and there are practices and that are inappropriate.
Yeah, but I'm trying to find out, what are they?
That's the tricky thing, isn't it? Because that's going to be subjective. I'm not so sure banning is the word either. But you see, different people have different... Some priests might see nothing wrong with a song, and another might say, oh, no, that's not suitable at all. So to navigate that is the trick. But I agree with his sentiment. I firmly support that. That these big show funerals, where there has obviously been, it's the money that's been used to pay for these. Be realistic. Where is it coming from? Do you know what I mean?
Could I come in?
The pain or the heartache of the family.
Okay, Father Joe, I'll let you in after this break. But Father Joe, if somebody said to you, I don't know. Can you say to somebody, how many limos have you got tomorrow? And are you going to come up, arrive like they did at the recent sack walk? Walker funeral, rest in peace, that they arrived up in a Hummer stretch limo, 12 of his mates, all dressed the same.
Yeah. Joe, can I just say this? One of the things that Lisa was saying there is that you can never know. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, sometimes families will tell me that their beloved son that they're heartbroken about has been involved in activities all his life, largely starting sometimes with his own addiction and ending up into a life of crime. So sometimes I do know, even in those situations, it is not for me to judge. That person, Joe, regardless of how they've lived their life, will get a funeral with honour and dignity, not because I'm a great fella, but because they deserve that. They are a child of God, and that's what we have to do. The bit that I think people maybe don't get is we have a responsibility to the sacrament, and we cannot allow the sacrament to be done violence to. If the Catholic priest does not protect the sacrament, then who will? And what I say is, what happens outside the church door, to be quite honest, Joe, I don't really give a monkey's what happens outside the door or after Mass, as long as there is respect for the sacred liturgy. And the Archbishop, in my view, is nailing something that is growing, which is where the liturgy is disrespected.
But you're saying you don't mind, sorry, you're saying a show funeral outside the church with this 11 stretch limos, the stretch Hummer, the floral tributes and Rolex watches and bottles of Smirnoff and all that carry on. You're saying that's none of your business, but that's still a show funeral. So what's the Archbishop on about?
It is impossible. First of all, my concern. It's not possible for me to police what happens outside the church.
So Patsy McGarry's he didn't write the headline, I'm sure, but Patsy McGarry's piece is headlined in the Irish Times today, Archbishop's orders toned down gangland funerals. You're saying you can't tone them down. You cannot enforce that outside the gates of the church. And
His instruction, his leadership is very welcome because it sets a tone for what happens in Catholic funerals during Mass.
Stay with us, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I'm joe@rt.ie, and the headline is Archbishop orders toned down gangland funerals. There is a problem, the Archbishop Dermot Martin said, a problem with celebrity funerals getting out of hand. There are civil funerals all over the place. If they want that sort of thing, they go there. Where it can be ascertained that individuals hold direct responsibility in this traffic of evil, they will no longer be allowed to exploit religious services in the Archdiocese of Dublin to enhance their image. David Weford in Dublin. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Your point, please.
Pope Francis and Pope Benedict spoke about the Italian mafia, and they said that they were excommunicated by their lifestyles and that they were to be excluded from the church because of how they live, not by what they say and speak. So, in effect, Joe, is that those that peddle drugs and commit murder and bring havoc are excluding themselves and excommunicating themselves from God and from the church.
So you're saying they shouldn't? It should not even be allowed into the province of the church.
Well, Joe, I actually think, you know, when they're putting on them shows, I think they're actually mocking God. You know, when they go into the church, they, as the lady said, they have no reverence or anything for God, you know, and they're actually kind of, it's a kind of a mocking of God. And I think that's why the Pope, both the Popes, Francis, I think, and Benedict came out and said this, you know, that they're you know, they're only using the name of the church, but they're not in communion with God and in His church.
So they go elsewhere.
I would think so, Joe. Yeah.
But, well, as far as we could find out this morning, the only other website of any religious grouping or quasi-religious grouping offering their premises without any strings attached for religious services, including funerals, is the Church of Scientology, their magnificent new state-of-the-art building up in Tallaght. And they're saying we welcome funerals if from whatever creed or denomination. That's the only one I can find out. The footage we've seen of the inside of that building, it's magnificent and very ornate and very suitable, I suppose, for religious service. Sheila is in Clontarf. Sheila, your point, please.
Just on that point, I mean, they could have a humanist funeral or something else along that line, but I mean, they've excommunicated themselves from the church, you know.
So the church, church won't bury them, but let the humanists bury them.
Let the humanists or whatever, they can, you know, join the humanists or something like that. But
what do humanists say? We're also pacifists. Why would they bury? You know, why would they bury someone who's committed murder?
Yeah, well, why would the Catholic Church bury people that peddle death? You know, they're not with God. They're actually with God's enemy, Satan. You know what I mean? And I think they're just they're mocking God by going into the church and doing the things that they're doing,
okay.
You know?
I don't know how you enforce it. Sheila, your point, please. 51551.
So, the funeral is not just for the person that has died.
Now, the question we're talking about today, I know you're getting to the point. What do you think of what the Archbishop is saying? No, I want toned down gangland funerals, no more celebrity funerals, no more show funerals. How is that to be enforced?
Well, I think Father Joe said it as well as it could be said. Because with all due respects to the Archbishop, he doesn't know those families. He doesn't know the local parishes. He doesn't know that man's mother or grandmother that local priest has been dealing with all their lives. And if anything, these show funerals show the futility of these big BMWs or their cars or their watches. The man is dead. So what's that showing? That what's the value of all this, you know, flaunted wealth?
So
it gets them nowhere.
So is what the Archbishop saying meaningless?
He's probably doing it the best will in the world because he doesn't want the sacrament of, you know, the funeral, you know, used for any purpose other than the proper purpose, which is to celebrate the person's life, I suppose, and to give consolation to those who are left behind. And the local priest knows the people who are left behind. With all due respects to the Archbishop, he doesn't work in a local parish.
So,
and it's consolation. I mean, if my funeral won't be for me. It'll be for my family and my friends. And, you know, to give them the opportunity to mourn me if they want to.
Okay, Robert is in Ballyfermot. Robert, good afternoon. Thanks, Sheila. Robert in Ballyfermot. Robert, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Likewise. You say you've seen these funerals. Describe them then to me.
Absolutely. Well, invariably you see the horse-drawn carriages drawn up outside the church, the horses with all the feathers, the procession of limousines behind, and they generally, some of the funeral parlours, they might have cars that are maybe 2 or 3 years old, but they always tend to source the brand new limousines for these particular funerals. And I think the Archbishop has spoken for the people in many working class areas, particularly affected by these problems, who are sick to the back teeth of seeing these ostentatious shows of wealth. I mean, for years we've had people, drug dealers, and they're buying new cars and they're buying houses with cash. And I know you have the Criminal Assets Bureau are now going after these people living in the communities. Minicab, I think, is the nickname for it. But this is an extension of that. The funeral is an extension of that. And I went to one of these funerals a couple of years ago. And I have to say, the contrast, you had a stalwart in the community passed away. And at the funeral for him was a lovely, simple affair, very, very warm, very touching. And the funeral went on for a bit because there were a few speakers and what have you.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you had a funeral waiting outside with their horse-drawn carriages for a relative of a gangland figure in the area. And the contrast couldn't be more stark. You had decent people walking all their lives, rearing their families, hard-working. The simple funeral contrasted with this ostentatious show of wealth for these mostly younger people who are coming in. The parents would have been lovely people, but unfortunately, the younger people seemed to hijack it. And I think it was it was like a Liverpool coffin or something. I think was taken out of the horse-drawn carriage. But
and you're saying you're saying that should be banned.
I'm not saying it should be banned, but
like on the one hand, people are saying, I agree with the Archbishop, but nobody has given me one example so far of what they would actually sanction or ban.
Sure,
a Liverpool fan can... Liverpool fans are best in the world.
I never said that about Liverpool fans.
Yeah, but you mentioned a Liverpool coffin. What's wrong with a Liverpool coffin? Have you been up to Parmesan Cemetery lately?
I have,
there's
some
beautiful tributes to some of the deceased up there in Liverpool-style headstones and Liverpool-style seats beside the grave.
Yeah,
but they're not gangland by any stretch of the
imagination. Not at all.
What would you ban?
I was just citing the fact that I think it was a Liverpool coffin or Man United coffin that was taken out of the hearse. I mean, I don't have anything particularly against that. But what would I ban? The example that was cited earlier on at the David Byrne funeral. I mean, everyone was against that show that went on, and it was contracted.
Yeah, but let's listen to Father Niall Coughlin, who spoke on Liveline after that. He's the padre who officiated at the funeral. And my memory of Father Niall is that he said he didn't know. How would the priest know how many limos are going to pull upside? How would a priest know what the casket looked like? How would a priest know that all the men were dressed in brand new suits, shorts, and
I know.
Let's listen to the priest.
I agreed to do the funeral, and that was it.
And what about this image of it? Again, I can't work it out. I don't know what you can't work it out with the photograph, the scale or what, but of a remote-controlled BMW driving up the aisle of the church.
Up the aisle, I'm afraid.
What did it do?
It drove down the aisle, but it came as a complete surprise to me.
And what was it? What was it?
I have no idea what that was about. I have absolutely no idea.
And
it wasn't explained to me, and I didn't know it was going to happen.
That's Father Niall saying he didn't know what was going to happen, and until the remote control was whipped out. I don't know what the significance of either going up the aisle or down the aisle. Let's hear the second piece from Father Niall.
My words are my words, really, to be honest with you. It was me who put the homily together. In some cases, I think last night, I probably was... It made the way it was reported, it made look as if I was glorifying. But I actually was quite merciless as regards the Christian message. You know, I talked about hate, and I talked about the evil of hate. I talked about, what you call it, it isn't courageous to go in and blow somebody in their home to pieces or into a hotel. I said hatred has no place in the plan of God. It is so antichrist. It belongs to the realm of evil, and the greatest evil is the wanton destruction of human life.
That second piece. We have another piece from Father Niall Coughlin, who officiated at the funeral of David Byrne.
I think I've been true to the gospel message. I think I've been true to that. I'm a Christian. I fail daily at being a Christian, but I keep trying to get up and dust myself down and keep walking. But I think I was uncompromising in the Christian message.
That's Father Niall Coughlan. Now, Father Joe, would the diocese go as far as the New York Catholic Diocese did when John J. Gotti, the notorious crime boss, died? And the Diocese of Brooklyn in New York, they said they would not give him a public funeral mass. They would allow him to be buried near the body of his son in a Roman Catholic cemetery, but they would only allow a mass for the dead sometime after the burial of John Gotti. Is that a way around it?
Joe, for me, I cannot get into the idea of depriving people of the sacrament or depriving people of Mass. So to me, that is not the way to go. We're going to be very busy, I can tell you, if we start applying some of this criteria. Mm. There's an awful lot of people who lead very dodgy lives, and they're not all involved in gangland. You know, when do we use criteria about the sinfulness of the person in terms of, my understanding is, at the funeral mass is our last opportunity mm-hmm. as a church to be with people, to give them the honour and dignity that they deserve. Their sins are God's business. The judgment is God's. When they encounter the Lord, that's when they will be answerable. Father Niall Glitches has put it perfectly, and he was perfectly right. He was true to the gospel.
Okay.
He preached the message. But what my understanding is, the Archbishop is asking us as priests to do everything we can to protect the sacred liturgy, to have it dignified, and so on. If you're saying, Joe, that we're going to please, by the way, horse-drawn carriages happen regularly, nothing to do with anybody, to do with gangland warfare. They could be a request of a person who loved horses, you know, a particular thing in family. So, you know, we shouldn't identify any of these particular symbols. And just saying, I really think we're in a very slippery slope where we start to judge people in relation to the funeral mass. The funeral mass is our opportunity. The other stuff, I agree with the Archbishop, keep it outside the church before or after. As long as people come to St. Matthew's and it's prayerful and it's dignified and it's sacred music and it's respectful of St. Matthew's, then they're all welcome.
Okay, well, I still come back to my point. Listen to what you're saying, Father Joe. I don't know how the Archbishop's, it's not an edict, but the Archbishop's guidance is going to be enforced. Noel McKelvey in Meath, your point, please, Noel.
Not quite right, Joe. Noel McKelvey.
McKelvey, okay, sorry.
Okay, yeah. And I'm ringing for it alone. Joe,
Westmeath, sorry.
Westmeath, yeah. Joe, look, as far as I think the Archbishop is correct, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And for Catholics, the Catholic Church incorporates the reception of the remains and prayers on the evening before, sometimes on the day itself. But the Mass is the Mass, and it's about the Mass, not about the gangland that attended put on the show. The gifts, as far as Mass is concerned, for anybody who goes, any Catholic who goes to Mass any day of the week, the gifts are already there. The gifts are the bread and wine, which through the power of the Holy Spirit, the priest transforms into the body and blood of Christ. They are the gifts. And it has crept in the story, first of all, by people saying, oh, you know, somebody was fond of the crossword puzzle and the hand of a crossword, some sort of memorial and a picture and stuff, and maybe it's somebody's favourite pipe or something. That has nothing got to do with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We receive, the Church receives the remains, and they pray for the soul and body of the person there. That's incorporated into the prayer of the Church. And Christ's sacrifice in Calvary, present at the Mass, Christ offers our prayers and our petitions and all that we have to say about the dead person to the Heavenly Father.
Horse-drawn hearses. Yes or no?
No problem. Anything else the Church gives is fine. They can do
American-style caskets, €15,000. Okay.
I wouldn't fault the casket.
Okay. 11 stretch limousines.
Anything else to get your...
Okay, so what is a show funeral? What is the Archbishop on about?
He's on about people... He's not talking, Joe. I didn't hear his comments, by the way, but as far from what I hear you say, he hasn't been speaking about...
Hang on. This is what he said. They exploit religious services in the Archdiocese of Dublin to enhance their image. The way you enhance your image, ostensibly or inevitably in this country, is through displays of wealth. Horse-drawn hearses, two of them, a 15,000 euro casket, American style, in the colour blue, which apparently is the blue of the one gang identified with. Everyone in brand new suits, same style, same colour, short tie, etc., double cuff. Everyone in brand new shoes, same style, same designer shoes, inevitably.
Sure.
So you're saying, and the Archbishop cannot ban any of that. Sure he can't.
No, he can't.
So what is a show funeral?
Well, it's a show funeral, Joe. If you have some kind of a flower bouquet made up like an expensive car, you know, bringing the gifts down the aisle. I mean,
he was a chauffeur who spent all his life driving Range Rover Evokes. That's how we do. So we do a wreath in this style. That was a genuine tribute to the man or woman.
I'm just saying.
Has everyone got an answer for all of this?
The answer really would be if the priest perform the duties that they're supposed to do, you know. If they accepted the remains in, as is meant to be the case for Catholics, receive the remains in, have prayers even before, have a decade of the rosary, announce the funeral the next day, and have the mass, and the gifts are there, the bread and wine. Nothing to say to the priest, look, the gifts will be in future, the bread and wine, that's it, you know.
So nobody can bring any other gifts up at the offertory. You can't bring a football jersey or a hurley.
I think it demeans the mass, Joe. I think it takes from the holy sacrifice. It doesn't add to it, you know. It distracts, Joe. It takes. We're there to encounter the presence of Christ, you know, not to see footballs going up and clear pipes and hurley sticks.
That's a common thing now.
That doesn't make it right, Joe. You know, there's lots of things that are common. You know, it doesn't make them right as far as the Catholic Church is concerned.
Yeah, but that's not what they're banning.
Joe, could I come in?
Yes, Father Joe.
Just, Joe, you've asked a few times about, you know, what exactly we're talking about. There's three things, Joe, that can be controversial, if you like, in mass, funeral mass. One is the music, one is the notion of eulogy, and the other is this idea of symbols of the person's life.
Mm.
And those three areas all happen within the liturgy, and that's where I think I'll be getting strong leadership from the Archbishop there.
Right.
Will
the vetting of music at funerals, in other words, you're saying religious music only during the obsequies, will the vetting of music at funerals apply to middle-class areas and upper-class areas in Dublin as well?
Well, Joe, I hope you know me well enough. I don't have any interest. People come to St. Matthew's, whether they have a fat bank account or a slim one or anything like that. So it's a non-issue whether a person is coming for St. Matthew's. But, Joe, you go a long way as a celebrant in terms of the time you spend beforehand with family. I think you tease out a lot there. And, Joe, when a family sees that you are with them in their grief and that you're going to try and do an honourable, dignified, prayerful celebration, they're prepared to let go of a lot of their inappropriate, unintentionally disrespectful notions. They're prepared to park them or leave them till the graveside. So we have a bit of work to do in terms of how we celebrate the liturgy.
Father John MacDonald in St. Matthew's of Ballyfermot, thanks indeed. Noel McCarvey, Peter, Magella, Sheila, David, Marie, Lisa, thank you all.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Back to who can or cannot be buried in Catholic churches. Tom, good afternoon. The year is 1924. Ireland is in a difficult situation after the end of the Civil War. Go ahead, Tom.
Good afternoon, Joe. 1922, seven men were executed on the Curragh camp.
Yeah.
They were dragged out of their cells by...
Seven prisoners.
Seven prisoners of war. Yes, it's very important to mention. They were dragged out of their cells after being beaten and tortured for a number of days. They were taken out of their cells, put up against a wall and shot, and thrown into a lime pit.
In the care of the state?
In the care of the state.
And by the hand of the state?
under the direct orders of W.T. Crosgrave and Kevin O'Higgins.
And in retaliation for the murder of a TD or whatever, was it?
No, there was no murders of TDs at that time. Okay, it wasn't until after the execution started. However, okay. Murder or execution, whichever you care to mention, I prefer to use the word that these men were murdered. In fact, Leo Varadkar stated the same thing a number of years ago in a newspaper article. They were dragged out and they were buried in lime pits. In 1924, they were exhumed and brought back to their hometown. I won't mention what it was, but their hometown. They were taken back to their hometown and brought to the Catholic Church in their hometown, where the priest at the time stood at the door of the church with his hand up like he was stopping traffic and said that them men cannot enter the Catholic Church.
Why not?
Because they had been excommunicated by the Catholic Church because of their anti-treaty alignment.
They took up arms.
Their anti-treaty alignment, if you wish, they took up arms.
What were they in prison for?
They were captured as anti-treatyites during the Civil War period.
Okay, but they would. Okay, and no. Just by the way, I'm not saying that this is a justification, but were they engaged in armed?
Engaged in anti-treaty activities.
Okay, but it wasn't giving out leaflets.
Yeah, it's quite possible it wasn't giving out leaflets.
Okay, no, and by the way, that's no justification for what happened to men either.
Absolutely.
They were denied access to the Catholic Church.
The priest actually stood at the door with his hand up saying that them men will not be allowed access to this church in order to be buried. So they were then taken to the courthouse in the town that they were from. They were left overnight in the courthouse and then brought down to the Republican plot where they were buried. I'm not too sure whether the ground was consecrated or deconsecrated at that time, but they were buried in a Republican plot.
But they never saw, so to speak, an altar in the church.
No, absolutely not. From the day that they were arrested and beaten and tortured in prison.
Okay, and the Mass of the Dead was never said for them.
As far as I'm aware, no.
Okay.
Unless their relatives and the townspeople that did go to the funeral, unless they prayed for them. I don't think there was any prayer said for them then.
And was there any priest at the graveside? Given the strength of that story, if there had been a priest at the graveside, you would have heard.
They were only seven of 77 men that were murdered at that time.
I know.
The thing is, though, the Catholic, it was a horrible time.
Yeah, I know that.
The thing is, though, that the Catholic priest had no hesitation in banning them from entering the Catholic Church. Yeah. And I don't have much to do with the Catholic Church now, but in respect to the Archbishop, I think he's 100% right. It is time to say no more.
Okay.
He's 100% right, and he's a brave, brave man.
And that violence should be...
Abhorred,
justification is offered for violence in this day and age is rejected.
The story, Joe, it stays with us, and it's 100 years ago.
Of course it does.
Almost 100 years ago. I'm going to be interested to see what kind of memorials are held in 2022 for the murder of these men.
Okay.
And it was to Joe. Some people say execution. It was nothing but murder. They were unarmed prisoners of war that were dragged out.
Well, made 77 of them, and most of them, as you know, Tom, were young men. Made 77 of them rest in peace. Thanks indeed, Tom. Thanks to all our other callers. Hugh Orman produced, and Ray Darcy is next.